just before service, I found out why you chose tonight's service. Because on our website, it says tomorrow's service starts at 10 and ends at 1. Did you know about that? You didn't know. I didn't know either. And I said, we'd have to have a coffee break, a potluck, and several things. So if you thought that, I could see why you might be selective. Some people would say picky. And come tonight. We are picky, aren't we? You ever notice how some people don't eat vegetables? Some people only... I saw that. Some people only eat one veggie. You know, and some people... We have dear friends, Gwen and I. They are now with Christ in heaven, Wayne and Selma. And she slaved one day and made lemon meringue pie from scratch. Okay? It's my favorite, right? So Gwen and I and our daughters are the first family, pastor family, that have ever had a meal in their house. And they were old enough to be our parents. And, of course, they played grandma and grandpa to our girls. Well, I made the mistake of not eating the crust. You know, the very dry stuff that I consider dry on the top stuff. So the next time we went to their house, she came into the dining room and she flung a bowl like a cafe waitress would, and all it had was lemon meringue filling. And she says, if you don't eat my crust, you don't get any. We are picky. Today's story, you may have heard this. I'm not the author of it. You may have heard this story before. But it's about a man and his son. And they collected art. Not art just like coloring book kind of art. Classic art. So let me tell you the story. Obviously, he was wealthy. And it was a passion. He had works by Picasso, Van Gogh, and others. And you would know their names if I told you. And they were on the walls of the family estate. Well, one year, war engulfed the nation, and his son left to serve the country. It wasn't long after his son was gone, the father received word. It was a telegram. Many military families know this one. Your son has been killed. Distraught and lonely, the old man faced upcoming Christmas with anguish and with a broken, sad heart. On that Christmas morning, however, there was a knock at the door. And the depressed old man, he went to the door, no expectation, even considered not opening it. And he was greeted by another soldier, and the soldier was holding a package. And the soldier said, I was friends with your son, and I have something to give you. You see, the soldier mentioned that he was an artist. And then he gave the package to the old man. It was a portrait of his son. Overcome with emotion, the man hung the portrait over his fireplace, taking the seat of honor in the house, pushing millions of dollars worth of artwork aside. But that's not the end of the story. You see, the next spring, the old man died. And the art world waited with anticipation for his paintings to be auctioned off. And according to the will of the old man, the art would be auctioned off, guess when? Christmas Day. And there that day came and arrived, and the art collectors from around the world gathered to bid on some of the world's most spectacular paintings. And the auction began with the painting of the man's son. And it was brought out, and the auctioneer asked for an opening bid, and the room was dead quiet. Who will open the bid? No one spoke. Who will open the bid for $10? No one spoke. Finally, someone said, who cares about the painting? It's just a picture of his son. And finally, the neighbor. He said, I'll give $10. I knew the boy, so I'd like to have it. The auctioneer, if you've ever been to one, you know what he did. Going once, going twice, going thrice, sold. And the gavel fell. The auctioneer looked at the room filled with people and announced, the auction is now over. And everybody, you can imagine, was stunned. And someone spoke up and said, what do you mean it's over? We didn't come here for a painting of someone's son. There's millions of dollars worth of art here. And the auctioneer replied, according to the Father's will, whoever takes the son gets it all. Isn't that Christmas? Whoever takes the son, whoever believes in him, whoever receives him by faith that God gives as a gift, gets it all. Think about Joseph and the world that he was facing and dreamed of with his betrothed Mary. And it wasn't the world that he was picking. If he had a choice, in fact, he considered it. I don't think I'll marry her. She's pregnant. And yet God wanted to bestow on him a gift unknown to human beings ever, that she would give birth to the Son of God, Emmanuel, God with us. And that night, Joseph had a dream, and the angel spoke to him and told him about what God's plan was. And Joseph believed, and he received the son into his family. And with faith, he got it all. But what has Christmas become today? If you were to describe the perfect Christmas, what would it include? Lights in the window, candles lit. Maybe not light bulbs, maybe real candles. You know, maybe oil candles. It would include a Christmas tree, ornate with ribbons and bows and you know, maybe more than one tree. Maybe more like the Biltmore house, you know, with trees in every room. Of course, with my asthma, I wouldn't go in that house, but you might like that. That would be your perfect Christmas tree. Maybe you want snow. How many of you want to write White Christmas? Look at all the Northerners keeping their hands down. See, y'all know better. Yeah. And my good friend came from White Snow. He's down here getting a break, and we'll go back to it. If we picked a Christmas, it's with family, it's with friends, it's with a little vino, you know, maybe it's a particular recipe, you know, grandma's best favorite pie, you know, that I can't make like she did, and, you know, and on and on. We have this list. And then when that list doesn't happen, what do? We mope. We groan. You know, we give new words, you know, to I'm dreaming of a white Christmas. You know, I'm dreaming of a Christmas I used to know. You know, when the children were quiet and grandpa was happy and grumping went out the door. You know, it's just, I'm dreaming of. And it's, we have this song that we sing in our heart, but it's not the reality. And therefore, we're confronted by that. And we think, it just isn't Christmas. Is it? Unless we have this full list. And that's the way the people looked at the art auction. The only thing of value was the Picasso and the Van Gogh. And that's the way the world looks at some of our beautiful churches and the Christmas decorated houses. It's Christmas when you have all the frills and the thrills and the things that secular puts dollar signs on. It's Christmas when you spent all this bucks on the gifts. I mean, a new Apple Watch. Ooh, you know, I got a Timex. Well, actually, I don't have one. Think about it. We pick and we choose. And when we start doing this, you realize what we're doing? We're losing it all. We're crowding in what isn't necessary, and we've pushed out what is absolutely real and most precious of all, because we've redefined what God is going to give. Because the meaning of Christmas has changed. It's happy holidays. It's vacation time. And if you work, it's double pay. We've changed what Christmas is. We are no different than the art world in the story, isn't it? We are seduced by the glamour, the pizzazz, and the wow. And if it doesn't happen, where are we going to be? Maybe like Cubs fans, there's next year. But then it happened. But we don't have to wait. For then it happened. For God sent the best gift of all into a broken world where broken hearts, to a hungry world with starving souls, to a dark world with dismal no future, into a world of blindness and spiritual death, God sent his only begotten Son. And into a world that tries to manufacture brightness with artificial lights, God sent the light of the world. The light, the one and only. He sent him for us so that we didn't have to dream of what could be, or we didn't have to dream of what would be better next year, what we could do more of. Like, how would we decorate this building and make it even greater, you know, and more Lutheran? But instead, he gave us his Son, who would go the way of the cross. We know the story, don't we? I shouldn't even call it a story because that has connotations. We know the narrative. We know the account. We know the real meaning of it all. And instead of looking at a blank place under the tree, and instead of looking at dim lit rooms, and instead of looking at a little thin meal, we begin to realize that with the babe in the manger, we get it all. We get the forgiveness of sins, we get salvation, we get hope. We get strength. Strength to endure the times when we're hungry, and strength to endure the times of temptation when I want to fill my gut with all the things of this world and push out the things of God. We get the strength and the power of God by the presence of His Spirit, who dwells in us as His people, as His children, as His sons and daughters. And we get an eternal kingdom. Why is that important? Because this world is fading away. It doesn't always seem like it, I know. But with Jesus, we don't have to fear that. We get it all. It's a great conversation starter, right? You're in the coffee shop and you're waiting for your Starbucks or wherever you go. And they go, hey, what'd you get for Christmas? And you go, I got it all. Really? Well, what does that mean? Did you get an Apple Watch? You know? Did you get the 12.9-inch iPad Pro? 250-gigabyte hard drive, right? Did you get the latest, i7 7th generation processor? Did you get a new Apple phone? Or did you get the Galaxy? Or did you get, and on they'll name what they think is all. And you get to say, no, 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 no. And they give up and they go, I got it all. I have my Jesus. And some will go, oh, is that all? Right? And the thing you get to tell them is, you can have it all too. It's one of the neatest things that we as God's people get to do. We have it all and we share it and we don't lose any of it. When I was a kid, it wasn't that way. I wanted it all and I did not share. If you were like that, maybe you're still like that. Okay? But with Jesus, we get it all. All that we need for life and salvation, all that we need to make it through, all that we need to endure, all that we need to know that we are loved and to be loving, all that we need to know is the truth. All we need, it's all. And it's right there for you. And Jesus' life on earth unwraps the allness. That's not a word, but the allness of it all, right? We see him go to the cross. We see him wash feet. We see him heal. We see him walk on water. I really wanted to see that. But when I read the word, I can visualize it because God gives us faith to visualize it. And I can see the Lord Jesus Christ walking on water. We have it all. Tonight, tomorrow, the next week, maybe you already did family and friends, and you've had different kinds of Christmases. Celebrations, and they're all but let your hearts be full, let your mind be clear. With Jesus, you had it all. This Christmas and every Christmas, you have all you need and all you could imagine that's of value, that God says, this is real. This in the manger is my only begotten Son. This in the Nativity is Christ the Lord, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And he is, as in creation, all. Everything that was made through him, all. And he gives us all we need. Whoever has the Son of God, has it all. So what do you have? You have it all. Amen. Merry Christmas.